Welcome in to the newest episode of the Hoth Hangout Podcast. Glad to have you all with us for episode 117 of the pod. Again, hope you're having a fantastic day. Thanks for joining us for today's episode where we will be covering and starting a new series, I might add. We'll be covering the rise and fall of Skywalker, taking a film from the Star Wars movies, the entire franchise, both the Skywalker saga and perhaps in the future Rogue One and Solo as well, and taking it one movie at a time and thinking about some changes that we would implement. So that's what's in store for today. And if you're listening or watching along, feel free to give us your feedback with the changes you would add as well. But before we get into all of that, as a quick reminder, if you're not yet subscribed to the Hoth Hangout Podcast on YouTube, check us out there for the video version of the podcast. And we'd appreciate if you're not yet subscribed, hit that subscribe button as we continue to climb closer to the 500 subscriber goal. You can contact us via email at hothhangout@gmail.com with your Star Wars thoughts, questions, or otherwise, and we'd love to showcase them here on the pod. The Hoth Hangout Podcast is available on both Apple and Spotify or wherever else you get your pods. And if you're listening on either of those platforms or any platform that allows you to leave a five-star review, leave a five-star review on the podcast. We'd appreciate it very much, and it also allows it to be more easily discovered by other people that love Star Wars as well. We're also on the socials, whether it be Instagram, TikTok, or X. We're at Hoth Hangout on each of those platforms, and additionally on Twitch as well. Check us out there and follow the Hoth Hangout channel over on Twitch too. Additionally, the link to the Discord server is down in the show notes of today's episode as well. Joey, how are you doing, man? What's new with you?
I'm doing pretty good. It's good summertime. My daughter's been home with us the past couple weeks, so it's a little bit of an adjustment to be able to, because I work from home, so being able to work from home and then now have our daughter home as well, trying to entertain her. And my in-laws are actually staying with us the next few weeks to kind of help out and visit our daughter too. So it's hectic. It's a hectic summer. You'll know all about that soon, Ben, I'm sure. With all the craziness and all this of being a husband and a family and all that stuff. So, but yeah, it's been going pretty good. How about you? How you doing, Ben?
I'm doing pretty good, hanging in there. This is my last week of grad school. I'm basically already done, but I've got my official graduation this coming Friday. So,
nice.
Yeah, just wrapping up all the loose ends. Bought a house recently. We're in the like the inspection phases and stuff. So, learning how much it's like, this is what it's going to cost. And then it's like, okay, here's this inspection. Yes. That's going to cost. And then this, here's another inspection. It's going to cost you. So all the hidden parts of home buying I'm learning about. Nice. And not the biggest fan of, but
yeah. Do you have a close date already, or are you still
not officially? But it'll probably be about 3 or 4 weeks from now, depending on how quickly the process goes. So
nice. Okay. Well, good luck on that. If you have questions, I've bought a couple of places in my past. So if you have questions, let me know.
All right. Yeah, I appreciate that. This may be like probably the second to last episode of Hoth Hangout that I do from the apartment. So. New recording room coming soon.
So I was about to say, do you have a full recording room? Is it going to be like a Ben's? A Ben's den? Are you kidding me? That's the best name I've ever heard.
So it's the way the new place is set up. The basement is actually pretty big and it's finished. Mm-hmm. So rather than being in one of the three bedrooms, I'll probably have my setup like down there.
Nice.
In like a corner of the basement, sort of, is probably what's going to happen. But nothing certain yet. That's the direction I'm leaning. But maybe I'll do like a little tour of it or something when it's done.
I'm going to say claim your stake now. That corner gets smaller and smaller as the time goes on. Trust me.
Yeah, I don't doubt it, but yeah, so that's kind of what's new with me, and just feel like wrapping up with one job, starting another job in about a month. I'm not working during the month of August, so that'll help with the move to the new house, and kind of just lots of transitions in life right now, but it's going well, so appreciate you asking, and today, of course, we are talking about One of the eras of Star Wars, more specifically the ninth movie, where the transition from prequels to sequels maybe wasn't quite as smooth as it was from originals to prequels, many might say, many might not say.
I was about to say, but, you know, there's probably a little bit of the same discourse during that time as well.
Right. That's probably true. Yeah. And I got to ask you before we hop into today's specific points about episode 9, the things that we think are glaring spots that we might change about the episode. How many times have you seen this film? Because for me, this was only, I think, my third time watching Rise of Skywalker.
Probably in the time that it's released, I've probably watched it half a dozen, maybe six to eight times, I would say.
Yeah.
So
and
some of that maybe not in its entirety. Maybe just bits and pieces here and there as well. But I would say a solid six. I probably watched all the way through.
Okay. And I forget, in our official rankings that we did like a year ago or so, where did you rank this in your list of 11 films?
I think it was in the lower half for sure. Possibly the lower quarter, but yeah, it was definitely in the lower.
Yeah. See, for me, I tried to approach it with an open mind, I gotta say. I don't think it's any secret that this is my least favorite Star Wars movie. And so approaching it, I watched it with Mariah, who had never seen it before. And I was like, I'm not going to give her any like semblance of how I feel. I mean, she knows that I don't like it probably, but I'm not going to tell her anything about the plot. I'm going to let her experience it for herself for the first time.
Right.
And I have quotes from her that I captured during the episode. I can either share those now or I can save those for the end of today's episode. Whatever would
I think let's save them to the end. I think that's a nice little teaser to the end there. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, I've got like a good list of about 8 or 9 of them here that that I recorded while we were watching. So
nice.
They're pretty fun. But my overall thought about the film, I actually feel like I didn't dislike it as much this time as I had in the past. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, that's a little bit of a positive spin on it, perhaps.
Yeah.
But going into it, I know today we're talking about like the 10 or so glaring things that we would change about the plot. Did you have one in particular you wanted to focus on to begin with? Or did you have more of an overall thought before we begin our discussion?
I mean, the one that we start with here is the one that I have the biggest problem with, I think, in the movie. So did you want to just dive into that already?
Yeah, let's do it. Let's do it. Okay. Let's go for it.
All right. Well, the first thing that I wanted, and, you know, to let you guys know of how we set this up, I kind of came up with the 5 that I wasn't particularly happy with. And then Ben came up with his 5. But as we go through this discussion, we'll like name each of them and then we'll both talk about it. Does that sound right?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Okay. So the first thing that I had an issue was Emperor Palpatine just sandwiched into this storyline all of a sudden. You don't hear anything really of him in the first two episodes of the sequel trilogy. And then all of a sudden, hey, by the way, here's Palpatine. And obviously with the most famous meme-worthy line, somehow Palpatine has returned, has come, you know, was spawned from his return to Star Wars. Now, I was in the room at Star Wars Celebration 2019 in Chicago when they did the trailer and they had Ian McDiarmid on stage doing his laugh at the end of the trailer. And believe me, it was hype. It was super hype and it was incredible. It was an awesome time to be a fan, and especially there at the panel. But as I was walking out from that panel, I was a little bit worried. I'm like, how are you going to bring him back into this? And because and basically it was just like all of a sudden, by the way, Palpatine's here within the first 5 minutes. Right, Ben, you know, you've seen this movie much more recently now than I have. But they pretty much go right to Kylo going to Exegol, right, to find Palpatine. And where, like I said, in the first two movies of the sequel trilogy had nothing to do with him, all of a sudden, here he is. So that was like my number one thing that I just said, okay, it's like you had no thought process going into it, and all of a sudden here, like, oh, we need to bring in Palpatine all of a sudden. And then, because that's what it feels like, he was just shoehorned in just because, you know, there was not enough. I don't know why, to be honest. What are your thoughts about this?
I mean, this is, I think, the most glaring thing, I think maybe overall from episode 9, that really, you could make the case our other 9 things that we're going to talk about today all sort of stem from them forcing this into the story. And mm-hmm. maybe I would even kind of take it even a step up, kind of a bird's eye approach, and say that it's really just a lack of planning on Disney's part. Mm-hmm. And so I think for something like Star Wars, if you want to include Palpatine, mm-hmm. fine. I don't have like an aversion to it, even though I think you'd have to do it in a way that doesn't upset fans of the original trilogy if you want to do it the best way possible. But the fact that like people didn't sit down in 2013, 2014 and say, okay, here's how we're planning it. And right. we're going to like drop hints through Force Awakens and maybe more hints in Last Jedi. But there's that just doesn't exist, except for, of course, you know, like you said, less than 2 minutes into episode 9. And Kylo is finding that Sith artifact, the Wayfinder or whatever, mm-hmm. on a planet that leads him to Exegol. And then, oh, my gosh, Palpatine's here. Where has he been this whole time?
Yeah.
And I think what bothers me even more about it is the dialogue they use to try to play it off. Like we all know the somehow Palpatine has returned. And then like they even go further. They kind of like try to explain it. They're like dark magic, and it's or cloning. They say cloning.
yeah.
You're like, that's it. That's all you're going to say. Like they right. show a body of Snoke in a tank that implies that Palpatine like cloned Snoke and doesn't allude to Snoke's origin or anything, just that he came from Palpatine. It's like, oh, okay, I guess. So there's so many things connected with Palpatine in this movie that you're just supposed to accept at face value, mm-hmm. which is, I think, where a lot of the frustration ultimately comes from.
Right, yeah. And one of the things that we wanted to mention here is, like, how do you fix these types of things? I mean, mm-hmm. honestly, it's like you said, just better planning. I'm not going to pretend to, like, be a fan fiction writer and be able to come up with some type of plot that would be better than this necessarily. But and I know that there is like other mediums, like in books and in comics, where they were leading into, you know, a possible return to Palpatine, which is fine. But for those who don't read the books or, for the movie watchers of Star Wars, this was, you know, kind of like out of nowhere. So
yeah.
To fix this, like you said, I think it would be, you know, just better planning as a whole for the sequel trilogy. Maybe keep the same director, you know, the same mm-hmm. writers kind of going throughout, just like they do in the books. You know, we've talked about how in the High Republic series now that they do a lot of writer's room type of things where they're able to talk to each other and, you know, figure out new ideas for each of their books. So I think something similar like that we would have benefited if they had something like that.
Yeah, I definitely agree. Just a kind of a backed into a corner. Okay, let's throw Palpy in there. Mm-hmm. So what was your second thing you included in your list?
So the next one was Rose Tico. Love the actress, love the role, but they kind of just plucked her out completely out of Rise of Skywalker. And given her role in Last Jedi, now listen, I know that Last Jedi wasn't a lot of people's. Just this entire sequel trilogy may not have been a favorite to a lot of Star Wars fans, but I thought Rose was a good character in Last Jedi. I thought, you know, if she could have a big role in what was going to happen in Rise of Skywalker, that would have been a win for. I mean, as you know me as an Asian American, I'd love to see my Asian American actors, you know, having important roles like this as well. But she, you know, they basically just said, okay, well, you just stay at home the rest of us, we're going to hang out on this journey, you know? So I just, I felt like that was just a weird thing to do to, you know, introduce her into The Last Jedi, have her continue on into Rise of Skywalker, only to be sidelined and to, like, have nothing to do, really. So, obviously, the fix to that is to have, like, a meaningful role for her, whether it's, like, a Finn and her type of relationship type of thing, I don't know. Whether it's giving her, I mean, she, you know, she was, like, the engineer, so of course she's going to be able to help out with things on the ship and things like that. So maybe not a super important role. I know she's not Force sensitive. I know all that. But I think to have introduced her in Last Jedi to only just bench her in Rise of Skywalker was just a weird move.
To tease one of Mariah's quotes, we're watching episode 9. We actually watched Last Jedi yesterday. Mm-hmm. So like she had the familiarity with Rose's character. And we're watching Rise of Skywalker today. And is it her name starts with a J, the character who is implied that she's Lando's daughter,
Janna.
Yes.
Yeah.
Janna and Finn have all these scenes together. And Mariah was like, how come Finn has a new lady every movie?
That's true. That's true. Yeah. Every episode, every movie he had a new interest.
Yeah. Yeah. But to allude to her role, I've never really understood the frustration with her role in The Last Jedi. I mean, hot take about The Last Jedi, it's probably actually my, I don't know if I would use the word as strong as favorite of the sequels, but it's the sequel I think is the most different, which is why I appreciate it the most of the three. And I think even though a lot of her scenes I'm not a big fan of in that movie, like the Canto Bite sequence, I could take it or leave it, the whole codebreaker mm-hmm. thing, not to focus too much on Last mm-hmm. Jedi rather than Rise of Skywalker, but I don't think anything about her role in that film like indicated that she should have this reduced role that she has in the Rise of Skywalker. I mean, it really is just sort of, I don't know how much screen time she has. If I were to guess, my guess would be somewhere between like 3 and 5 minutes. And it, you know, I don't know what she was in Last Jedi, but I think it'd be fair to guess like at least 20 to 30 minutes, probably, mm-hmm. if not even more. So, a character that really didn't deserve to not be included in The Rise of Skywalker, but just amongst a whole host of other odd decisions. I think maybe this was listening to a vocal minority of fans who just didn't like the character that much. Which is kind of a sad reason. And I don't think that's something Disney would ever admit. But I'm, you know, it's hard to think that they would make that decision and it not be influenced by that in mm-hmm. some way. So,
right.
So Rose was your second one. Mm-hmm. What was your third one?
Okay. My third, and this is a frustration for me because love the actor. John Boyega as Finn. I think he was fantastic. So you kind of didn't really know what you were going to get in Rise of Skywalker with Finn. But now Finn is now showing Force sensitivity. In the last episode of the entire, you know, Skywalker saga, all of a sudden now he's showing this Force sensitivity, or at least they're alluding to it, right? And, like, if you remember the teaser trailer for Force Awakens, One of the biggest things that, you know, that come to mind when I think of that is John Boyega with a lightsaber, you know? So, of course, you're going to think Force sensitive. He's going to be the guy. He's going to do, you know, whatever. Turns out to be Rey, which I think was just fine. But it was like kind of a bait and switch there with his character. Only to come full circle two movies later where now he's Force sensitive or he's kind of showing these signs. And so it was more of a frustrating thing for me to see, like, well, why'd you wait so long? You know, how cool would it have been if you had Force Awakens, with Rey, you know, obviously kind of being the main, you know, Jedi Force user, but also to understand, to see like, oh, wait, you got Finn here who is maybe not as caught up as, you know, or as powerful as her, but maybe it's a good sidekick, maybe a good partner in some way, maybe something that we haven't seen in in Star Wars, where you normally see like a master and a Padawan. Maybe it's just like two people like learning together, you know, just like, so that would have been my fix to this is, you know, earlier on, if you introduce that this is what he is, I think this ends up being a better role for him. And I think he's gone on record where like, he's not entirely excited about how his role turned out to be. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, I wouldn't blame him for. So I think now that he shows it, it's just like, it's like too little too late now. It's just like, all the things that we wanted to do, we're just going to throw in this movie, you know? Oh, we wanted Palpatine in there. Let's just throw him in there. Oh, we wanted, you know, oh, didn't we have Finn like being force sensitive? Yes, let's throw it in. And just, so that's, it was more of a frustration thing seeing him now. It was cool seeing it, but at the same time, you're like, well, now this is too late, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, I think a lot of that too is just JJ having a plan for the character. Obviously, like not directing the middle movie of the trilogy. Mm-hmm. And then JJ like trying to revert a lot of the things that Rian Johnson brought to the characters. And so I wouldn't be shocked if this was kind of Finn's trajectory, but I'm sure they had a different path for it originally. Certainly, I would assume more involvement. Whether that means like seeing him actually use the Force, or, you know, I'm not sure maybe what the original plan was, but his character has always, not the character itself, but it's the character's use in the plot of the trilogy, especially right. Episode 9, kind of feels odd to me. Mm-hmm. Like, it feels like he's part of sort of the Force sensitive thing in Episode 7, or he's headed that direction. Episode 8, he kind of goes off on this adventure with Rose, and they're doing their own thing with the Codebreaker and, you know, his story with Phasma and all that stuff. And then Episode 9, it just kind of like, it's herky-jerky. Like, you can't figure out what Finn's character is or what his main motivations are, what he's trying to do.
Right.
At least I feel like that. And I actually have something that's connected to Finn in one of my five things, but I'll leave that for later, just a little bit of a teaser. But, mm-hmm. Maybe some expanded universe stuff or some legend stuff about Finn would be something I'd probably be interested in checking out at some point.
Right. Yeah. So that was my third. My fourth mm-hmm. is Hux, General Hux. What is it? Artemis Hux? Was that his name?
I have no idea what his first name is.
Hux, General Hux is yeah. all of a sudden now a Rebel double agent. I don't know where this came from. And because, you know, if you remember, and I'm going, like I said, you might have to, you have a fresher memory of this, but essentially there was, you know, there was a double agent. They were trying to figure out who it was. It ends up being yeah. Hux, this guy who led the destruction of Hosnian Prime using Starkiller Base in Episode 7, is a rebel double agent. Don't, right. You know, I just, you know, and the only reason that is given is because he does not want Kylo to win, right?
Yeah.
Wasn't that the line he used? Like, I don't care who loses, only as long as he doesn't win, or something like that. I can't remember the line.
Yeah, but basically, like, I don't care if you win, just like Kylo Ren can't win or has to lose or something like that.
Right. Which I work at a corporate office. I get the jealousy from other coworkers and subordinates and management and all that stuff. But I don't know to. All of a sudden, this be the person that's been helping the rebel, resistance, I should say, during this time. I don't buy it. It just didn't make any sense to me. You know, we know that he and Kylo have had their differences, but to all of a sudden flip a switch and this is who he is now, I just don't see it. Now, the way to have done it correctly, we have seen in Andor, mm-hmm. with that one officer who had been a double agent like the entire time, you know. So I think, you know, we see the potential of something of that working, the kind of a plant inside of the organization. But this was almost just like, oh, you know what? I don't like Kylo at all. I am going to go against everything I believe in just to make sure he doesn't win. I don't buy it.
Yeah, everything about this feels laughable to me. Like, not only does it just come out of left field, like it's just like there's no indication in the first two movies at all. And then, they open up in the first, I think it's 10 or 15 minutes of this movie, and they're like, "Oh, there's a spy. We got to figure out who the spy is."
Right.
And the most laughable part, probably like two parts of this thing I'm thinking of actually. The way it's revealed, he shoots these stormtroopers and then he looks at them and he says the words, "I'm the spy." And you're just like, "Oh my gosh, who wrote this dialogue?"
Yeah,
And
I forgot
and
about that part.
so and the second funny part of that is that then he only lives for like five more minutes of the movie before the other admiral shoots him. And then he's that's just it. That's his whole role in this film is to be this spy who's mad at Kylo, and then just he gets offed immediately. And it's like, oh, okay. So, I mean, I guess the way I would change this is just make him the big bad of this movie too. I mean, I don't really get the you've already
Right.
committed to him being the big bad in episodes 7 and 8. Why are we bringing in this new Imperial officer? Just to basically take his place. I mean, it's effectively the same role. It's the evil guy who's serving the Emperor or Kylo, who's doing the big bad's bidding. And we're just replacing the character with someone else just so that he can say he's a spy, just to like immediately get killed by his predecessor or successor, I guess I should say.
Right.
I just doesn't make sense to me. And I love Domhnall Gleeson as an actor. And so, I can't imagine being in his shoes. Like, imagine opening up, reading the script, and it's like, oh,
Okay.
that's it? That's how I die? Yeah, you know.
Right. Yeah, and the thing is, like, like what you were saying, there's no setup for this at all. If I were him as an actor, if there was some, double agent, spy type of scenes that he would be in, then I would be so pumped for this. Like, oh, this is gonna be cool. But it was literally just that one thing, like, oh, I'm the spy. Like, then that was it.
Yeah, you don't see him spying. He just reveals
Right.
it and then he
Yeah.
gets shot.
Yeah.
So I don't
So.
know. It's probably the most laughable one I would say on our list for me,
Yeah.
but what was your fifth and final one?
The last one is, I thought this was going to be something. Coming into the trailers in The Rise of Skywalker to see this, Dark Rey. Oh man, I was excited to see what that was going to be about because, that's something that I don't feel like we got to explore too much when a light side user goes to the dark side. I mean, I guess in Vader's case, but you know what I mean? Like, I mean, she was the Jedi, she was the Jedi in this series, right? Or in the sequel trilogy. So if she would have ended up going to, if she were to end up going to, the dark side in any capacity, I would have loved to have seen more of that, with especially with the double lightsabers. I think that would have been just really cool to see a little bit more of that, So it was more of the lack of use of Dark Rey. It just seemed like that was something that was specifically made to be in the trailer, just to draw people in and to not really explore into it much more than that. It was really just just dangling this new toy in front of your face, only to for it to just be like that was probably like a 2 minute, not probably like Dark Rey probably only was on screen less than a minute, if I'm not mistaken, no more than two, So just to be able to see her in that, I think would have just been cool. I bet you Daisy Ridley probably really would have enjoyed a little bit more of that too. And honestly, and this might be a hot take, if it ended up being where Rey was all of a sudden a dark side user by the end of Rise of Skywalker, leaving it to like Finn to like be the Jedi Order, I think that would have been cool. Like it's a little bit of a darker turn. But if they're really going to go, and we're going to talk about this a little bit later, about the dyad between Rey and Kylo, how different would it have been if she was the one that was brought to the dark? and not him mm-hmm. being brought to the light. You know, just, you know, something different that we haven't seen before. So if that's the way that they went, and then if you're going to push this Finn force user side, force sensitivity side, force sensitive user on us as well, all right, well, then here's your Jedi, here's the dark side. And I think that would have been a very intriguing story. So that's kind of that would have been my fix. But I, you know,
yeah.
I wish they would have used her more.
Yeah, I like it a lot as an idea. I think something that probably you can anticipate when you go into like a Star Wars film, especially a Disney owned Star Wars film, that it's going to end in a way where you're like, oh, everyone, you know, happy. Yeah. Like, it's a good ending. I honestly, the change I would make, if we're talking just about Dark Rey, let her turn to the dark side and like give me a good side Kylo versus a dark side Rey.
A little swapperoo.
Yeah. And if we want to throw Finn in there, like make him Kylo's apprentice and they go like a little mm-hmm. 2-on-1. And like the whole 10th film is about, you know, turning Dark Rey back to the light. And I don't know if we're trying to be, you know, thoughtful or fancy with our storylines, like instead of it just being kind of the straightforward, like, oh, Rey doesn't turn to the dark side and she defeats the dark side and she wins the battle, you know, give me something Lego? Where she actually does turn into the dark side.
Let's look at the Lego people on this one.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah, it'd be fun to see kind of like an alternate universe Lego version of Dark Rey or Lego-esque story where they actually lean into the alternative timelines. But yeah, I like that one. That's a good one. I remember when the trailer came out, I was kind of like, ooh, intrigued by that. And then it didn't really have much of a role outside of that vision or whatever it was on the ruins of the Death Star. So,
yeah. Well, I got my five. What's the five that you wanted to start with?
Well, speaking of the ruins of the Death Star, I guess I'll start with the dagger. I guess it's known as Ochi's Blade or Ochai's Blade. I'm not even sure how it's pronounced. So again, I've seen this film 3 times. So if there's any of what I'm saying that's inaccurate or incorrect, I would love to be corrected by someone. But my understanding of this artifact is it's on the body of someone that they find at the bottom of this. They like fall into a sand pit, right? Or whatever it's called. Which I don't, you know, first of all, it wasn't even intentional that they ended up in the place where the dagger was. So I'm just confused by that. They find the dagger on his body, and then the dagger leads them to the Sith Wayfinder, which is on the ruins of the Episode 6 Death Star on a moon of Endor, right? Am I right so far, I think?
Yeah, these are all facts, yes.
Okay. So the way that they locate it, they are standing on an arbitrary spot on an arbitrary hill, and they're just looking at the Death Star ruins, right? They've been there for, what, 30 years probably? Something like that. And she pulls out this little thing and just sticks her hand out. And you know, the dagger is in the air. And she's moving it along as if it's some sort of like telescopic device of sorts.
Magnet.
And the ruins line up with the edging of the dagger. And then the point is pointing to like the throne room. And I'm like, on what world? Like, it seems so silly to me. This was probably one of the 5 moments in the theater when I first watched this where I was like, are you kidding me? They expect us to just like think they just happened to be standing in the spot where this lined up. And that I don't know if there's someone out there who can explain this to me. I'd love to understand it. But yeah, so I don't know if that is necessarily, I don't even know how I would change it, to be honest with you. I mean, maybe there's like an inscription or runes on the dagger that tell them to you somehow lead them to the location. But the fact that like the physical shape of the dagger has to be held in a specific spot without the knowledge of where that spot is, but somehow they end up on that spot. staring exactly at the direction they need to. I think I would change the methodology of finding the Sith Wayfinder location, but you could still incorporate the dagger if you want to, just in a different way. What do you think?
Yeah, this method I think belongs in something like a skeleton crew, where you know, where you can like let this stuff go a little bit more. You know, like I feel like this is a Goonies type of solution where you just have this random artifact that fits as a key to open this room. And, you know, so I think that's kind of what they were going for. But like you said, there's so many holes going into it that you're just like, so much has to happen perfectly in order for this to actually work, you know. In the amount of time that the Death Star has been there, you're telling me there's no there's no shift in anything where things move along. It's going to be exactly where it's at. So, but yeah, I think, you know, the use of the dagger, I think could have been a little bit better, as long as they would have, like, I don't know, like you said, the mechanism involved with it, I think was a little bit of a reach. But other than that, you know, I thought the blade itself was kind of, I don't want to say the word cool because it was used to murder so much, but to be able to like see that. So there's like some things about it that I'm just like, okay, well, that's important to the story, but to have it here, I just think it's a little bit of a stretch.
Yeah. And Lord Galvatron in the YouTube chat saying using Force Echo, she should have been able to use it to find the Wayfinder. I mean, with how many different like Force attributes that they include in this film for the first time, I mean, something with the Force I would have even been more okay with than just this, but it is what it is, I guess. So that was my first one. My second one is forcing Leia into the script. Now, for those that may not know, Carrie Fisher tragically passed away between episodes 8 and 9 being released. And so most of the footage of her in episode 9 is unused or reused from previously shot stuff, obviously prior to the time of her death. And then also, I would imagine, probably a fair amount of CGI camera work and tricks and stuff like that to make it function the way it's supposed to within the plot of the film. There's many scenes with her where you'll see her speaking in the back of someone else's head. And then you'll see that person speaking in the back of Carrie Fisher's head. And so it kind of gives you this indication that none of these scenes were filmed with the actors together, obviously, because she had passed. But I use that all as the backdrop of that to say, I think some of this is connected to one of my least favorite parts of the previous film, when, you know, the cockpit basically implodes of the ship she's on in episode 8, and she flies out in space. And then she Mary Poppins her way back to the ship, and she's fine. And going into Last Jedi, we had already received the information, I think, a couple months prior that Carrie Fisher had passed away. And so people went into the film thinking, oh, we're just waiting for the scene where Princess Leia, you know, has a tragic death. And this felt like it. And it was this emotional roller coaster, because there's about 30 seconds where she's just floating in space. And you're like, wow, like that. I mean, that was like a poetic way of doing it, you know. And then she floats back to the ship and you're like, oh, OK. So right, all that to say, her inclusion in episode 9, it feels a little odd, a little off. I mean, not only has the actor passed away, but so many of her scenes feel like they're cut into something else, and like it's a back and forth thing a lot of the times with her scenes. And then the thing at the end where she's like giving her life force to make Kylo understand that he's not bad. And then he drops his lightsaber and then Rey stabs him with it. And I'm part, I'm just like, I don't know. I think Leia's role, all that to say, I hate to say it because I love the character of Leia, but I don't think it works well in this movie. I think ending her story in episode 8 made more sense And I think they probably should have in the grand scheme of things, just in terms of the plot. But I don't know. What do you think?
Yeah. You know, I was just looking at the dates here, and Carrie Fisher passed in December 2016. And Last Jedi came out in end of 2017, in December 2017. Right. So almost a full year. Now, obviously, things have been already done and all of that, but you wonder if there was at least a discussion about whether, because I mean, this was they already filmed all this. They could have just ended it there, you know. But I wonder if in her honor they wanted to like have this last movie for her in Last Jedi. So. Just wanted to like throw that out there. Maybe they wanted to honor her as this is her last Star Wars movie. We're going to keep her completely exactly what we expected it to be. But then you had a couple of years to go with Rise of Skywalker to kind of give her that proper ending, you know, to her story now. I wouldn't have been against something have happened to her between, you know, to Princess Leia between the two movies, and then everything that had happened, that any footage you see of Leia in Rise of Skywalker would be more of like a flashback, maybe to some training with Rey, maybe things like that. I think that would have been better, but to have her, you know, as an active role in Rise of Skywalker was a mistake. I think it would have been better because that's all I thought of whenever I saw her on screen. I didn't think of anything else other than the fact that this isn't real. You know what I mean? Because it wasn't. You know, they had to like, you know, tie in old footage, old audio with you know the current, you know, live actors. You know, and it just seemed, I don't know, it didn't seem like that was the right way to go either. So. But like, yeah, if I were to fix it, it would have been something would have happened to Leia in between the two movies that happened off screen. But we can reference the things that she did do in that time, whether it be like with the Resistance or with Rey and her training, and kind of just leave it there.
Yeah, for what it's worth, I did enjoy the flashback scenes with the kind of the young Leia and Luke training together in this movie. Even though the CG is a little bit like, am I looking at a real person right now? That sort of a thought. But I did like that scene for what it's worth. So my third thing, this is probably my biggest of my five, actually, now that I think about it. Maybe one of my two biggest is Rey's lineage. Is she a Palpatine? Is she a Skywalker? The film doesn't really, I mean, the answer is that she's a Skywalker, but at the same time, it's like, yeah, yeah. But I guess what I'm trying to, I guess I don't know what the message is. Like, what, like, that even people with bad family names can forsake their family name and then just adopt the Skywalker name? It's like, I don't know if there was a part of you that felt this way, but for me, when I watched all three times I've watched this movie, I watched the last scene when the woman in the desert is like, Rey who? And and my gut is just like, don't say Skywalker, don't say Sky. You know, like there's something about that that feels jarring to me. And I honestly think this story works better. Like, if you want to make Rey a Palpatine, even though I think it's ridiculous, fine. Like, just have her own it and say, I'm changing the Palpatine name. Like, don't do this whole, like, I'm a Skywalker because I say I'm a Skywalker.
I do Skywalker things.
Yeah, yeah. And honestly, you know, my personal preference amongst the options of who is Rey going into episode 9, I would have preferred they just stick with she's a nobody, to be honest with you. Like, setting her up as either a Palpatine or a Skywalker, it feels manufactured, kind of. And I think the message, honestly, especially of episode 8, is that, like, the Force is not just something that is, like, for the Jedi or Sith. You know, the kids at the end of the film in Last Jedi, it's alluding to the fact that, like, the Force is what binds all of us. It is the living you know, embodiment of the connectiveness of the galaxy, essentially. And it's not, you know, whether you're a Jedi or a Sith, it's that we can all kind of, we're all like a part of that force that binds the galaxy together. And so all that to say, I almost would have preferred that they stick with the direction it felt like it was going in the first two movies, that Rey is a nobody whose parents, maybe her parents were killed by Palpatine, but mm-hmm. you know, then you get into the whole, like, Palpatine had kids, like, with who? And mm-hmm. then why did he just so willy-nilly easily just kill his son and his daughter-in-law? Like, it just
right.
it opens the floodgates to so many questions where it's like, just, I would have preferred her have been no one. And if you are going to make her a Palpatine, just have her own it and say, like, now this is the what Palpatine can mean now. It doesn't have to be something evil anymore. Like, redefining the legacy of the name instead of just kind of being like, well, now I'm Rey Skywalker. I don't know. I don't, maybe that's not a widely held opinion, but I'm curious what you think about that too.
I'm the same way. I would have rather her just be, you know, to take what they called her in Last Jedi, Rey from nowhere. You know, if mm-hmm. I thought that was kind of a cool persona, because here's this mysterious, you know, Jedi, not Jedi, but mysterious Force user who didn't know they were Force user and has all this power. And because I think of it as like Luke, right? For 19 years, didn't really show any, you know, Force sensitive type of things from what I understand, you know, and all of a sudden, because he, you know, because he runs into a droid one day, he's able to, like, now figure out, like, oh, okay, you know, I had this father, and you know he was really powerful with the Force, and, like, he had nothing going up into that point. Where same with Rey, you know, so not, but Luke was actually a Skywalker, you know, so maybe that's the parallel they were trying to go for, where, you know, up to a certain point, maybe you just have nothing, but one day a Force awakens. You know, that's quite literally the name of the seventh movie, right? So maybe that's what they're going for. But either way, I would have rather had Rey just be Rey from nowhere, and only, you know, proving the point that anybody can affect change. Anybody can be the hero in this story. You know, you don't have to have this huge name in order to be the hero. You know, whether it's Palpatine, whether it's a Skywalker, you know, she was just somebody who the Force chose, you know, to have more midichlorians or whatever it is. You know, I think that's what, you know, that would have been a better storyline if we went that way. And especially, and like you brought up at the end of Last Jedi with those kids on Canto Bight, I believe, right? With the broom kid. Kind of showing those Force sensitivity. I mean, it's exactly that's I think that's what would have been a better storyline coming through at the end.
Yeah. And Lord Galvatron mentioning here in the chat too, that saying Rey should have stayed a nobody, but the studio succumbed to the loud minority of fans that weren't about that in 8. I would agree with that too. And do you remember, and Lord Galvatron's other comment about her being a Kenobi? I remember mm-hmm. like all the hype, I think it was maybe even going into Last Jedi, was that she was a Kenobi. And I was fully on board with that train. Like, give me Rey as the would it be the child or grandchild? Probably the grandchild mm-hmm. of Obi-Wan and Duchess Satine or something like that. I'd be down for nice. That. But just the Skywalker thing doesn't feel like it works. It feels like it's trying to, it just feels a little cheesy to me, if I'm being honest. So you wanted her to be Broom Boy. Yeah. Yeah. It's Filed Sports in the YouTube chat. Broom Boy. That's like the name for the kid at the end of Last Jedi, isn't it? Is that what
right?
You're
yes.
Of?
Yes. Yes. The one that moves the broom without using the Force. Yes.
Right. Right. Yep. So that would be probably one of my two biggest, I've got two more. My next one is probably my other biggest one, which I have a really big issue with. And I have a very easy fix for this. Okay. It's the Rey and Kylo romance, otherwise known as the Reylo romance, or lack thereof. This just, it doesn't work. I mean, there's not really any indication at all in episode 7 that this is going to be where they end up. Episode 8, they kind of introduce this Force dyad concept, and you're like, where are we going with this? And there's the Force timing, as fans began calling it.
I love Force timing, so good.
Right, and it gets even more in-depth in episode 9, where they're actually like physically reaching into the spaces that each other inhabits as they're Force timing with one another. And all throughout this, there is this clear and evident message that Kylo is trying to draw Rey to the dark side. Rey is trying to resist the dark side. And even underneath all of that, Kylo is still, I think, internally struggling way deep down.
Right.
Particularly in episode 9, with, did he make a mistake? Am I on the right path? How can I forgive myself for what I've done, more than likely? Yeah, the shirtless Force timing was too much for her to handle. Yeah, that's in episode 8, isn't it? I'm pretty sure
when
she's still with Luke on the island, yeah.
Mm-hmm,
but this whole thing just feels so Disney. Like, it's the end of the last movie, we just beat the big bad guy, and what do? We stare into each other's eyes for a couple seconds, and we kiss each other. It's like, come on, like, really? There's not been like a romantic chemistry with them up to this point. If anything, it's a sibling chemistry.
Yeah.
I mean, not, I guess Star Wars kind of has a history of.
I was going to say it, but we'll move past that. Yeah.
But honestly, I think they do have more sibling chemistry than romantic chemistry. Like, there is this, like, you know, join me and we can rule the galaxy. And when Kylo is delivering this message constantly to Rey, there's not a sense that it's like, I'm interested in you or attracted to you. It's like he wants to rule together with like a power thing. So Aspiron Sports brings up another good point in the chat. It feels like the opposite of the end of Rogue One. Rogue One is a perfect example of how I think this movie could have gone in terms of the relationship dynamic between the two main characters. Like, it's obvious that Cassian and Jyn don't really have this like overt romantic chemistry in Rogue One. And so the way the movie ends, spoiler, the statute of limitations has passed, I think, on Rogue One. I mean, they're staring off, like knowing their demise is coming at them. And they're kind of just like hugging each other like best buds. Like, that's the vibe I got with Kylo and Rey. And just the kiss at the end feels so forced. The part that as this was happening and I was watching it with Mariah, who was watching it for the first time ever, she looks at me. She's like, you're kidding me. I hate this movie.
Nice.
It's so forced. I don't know. This is probably my biggest one now that I think about it. What did you think about this scene?
It the only reason it fit is because everything else they just dropped on you, like this movie. Palpatine, Hux isn't a spy. By the way, these two are in love. Like, that's, it feels like this is like the last strike, if you will, for this movie. There are people, I mean, there were definitely a group of the fandom that wanted this to happen. You know, we can for sure say that Reylo was a thing going into this movie. Now, did that have influence on how they decided to do this? Possibly. I don't know. But I think that's at least worth saying that, you know, there was a good portion of the fandom wanted this to happen. Now, that's not necessarily the groups of fandoms that, you know, I would necessarily identify myself as. So I don't know if they were excited or they thought it was kind of lame the way they did this. But either way, it happened. But for me personally, yeah, I'm the same way. I did not really think that this was the way it was going to go. So when it happened, I'm like, okay. I mean, it didn't so much bother me, then it didn't really affect me, because if you remember, they kiss, then he dies. So,
yeah,
you know, it's just, you know, so it wasn't like, oh man, you know, for me, it was like, okay.
There was audible laughter in my theater when this when that happened, by the way.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
The kiss, there were a few people that were like, what? Like, you know, kind of in hushed tones. And then he dies. And then someone started laughing.
Yeah. Right.
Just like...
Because what it makes me think of is, what is it? Is it Sleeping Beauty? It's like the opposite of Sleeping Beauty, where...
Right, right.
Like, the kiss wakes them up. But this one, the kiss, like, kills them, I guess?
Yeah. I, now that I'm thinking about it and hearing you reflect on it, I feel like this whole concept of a dyad and the Force, like, what if it would have been, like, that Rey was the twin of... I mean, that's maybe a little too on the nose with, like, Luke and Leia also being twins. But just, I don't know, like, some deeper connection that makes them a Force dyad, like, biological connection rather than just... I don't know. That was just another thought I had. But for what it's worth, the Reylo romance, just it doesn't work for me. They allude to it a little bit in Last Jedi, and then it just feels so abrupt, and then it ends so abrupt. And I just
listen. Wow. I know these are two good looking actors. I get it, but I don't. Yeah, I just, as far as the characters go, I never would have put them this way. And as Spy on Sports says, somehow they fell in love. Exactly.
Somehow. He also said that, honestly, I don't think they were trying to play up a love relationship as much as they were falling into each other's arms and lips after the most stressful moment of their lives.
There could be something to that. You know, they definitely were in a very tough fight just then against all of the Sith, you know?
Yeah. Well, that was my fourth of five. Here's my last one. And this one, I want to kind of open up the floor to everyone watching and you, Joey, about what would be kind of the way to fix this, apart from the obvious one. And my thing I've got for my last one is, it's alluded to all through the movie that Finn has this big secret that he wants to tell Rey. They're sinking into the quicksand. He's like, Rey, I never got to tell you. Whoa, whoa, whoa. You know, and he's gone. So he's like, oh, what's Finn's secret he's going to tell during the movie? Later in the movie, at one point, Poe is like, what's that thing you were going to tell Rey? And he's like, oh, I can't even remember what the line was, but he plays it off like, and they don't talk about it the rest of the movie. There's not a line in this movie where Finn tells Rey the big secret. It feels like, I feel like I walked out of the theater and this was the first thing I thought about, actually. Mm. I thought, wait, what was the secret? They mentioned the secret multiple times, and it's never disclosed. It feels like such an obvious thing that you would want to include in the conclusion of the film, and they don't do it. And so my question would be, A, how do you fix this? Do you not include it at all? Or what do you include as the big secret of Finn's?
Right. I mean, is it safe to say the big secret is that he is starting to be more Force sensitive? I mean, is that what the secret is?
I mean,
or are we saying
know.
We don't have any know? I mean, so the Force Awakens is now for him. You know what I mean? Like he's finally getting it. If that's what it is, I think a really cool way to have done that would have been at a post-credit scene where he's moving something with the Force. And that's it. You know,
that's kind of,
you know,
fun,
and
yeah.
That, so like you don't know like what, you know, exactly what he was going to say to Rey, but if that's what it was, I think that would have been real, real cool.
I mean, Spy on Sports brings up another point. Is it something about being Force sensitive, or is it something about disclosing feelings for Rey? In which case, it doesn't fit into the rest of the movie at all. Because you know, he's not really with Rey in this movie, and Rey is macking on Kylo in the last 10 minutes of the movie.
Just like everything doesn't fit in this movie, so it would have been perfectly fit in this movie.
I have a theory. I feel like I read this online somewhere, that there exists like a 3-hour version of this movie that just makes more sense because they had to take stuff out. And I wonder if someday we get some sort of like director's cut that includes just scenes that would piece together some of these odd moments that don't.
Would that be considered the Snyder's cut of?
yeah, the Abrams cut or whatever.
The Abrams cut of Rise of Skywalker. Yeah,
yeah, something like that. Yeah,
yeah. But yeah, to not even address it by the end of the movie is frustrating.
Yeah. It's one thing to have something happen in a film, like Rey and Kylo having a romance, and not think it's the right choice, because it's a choice they made ultimately, and they stuck with that choice. It's another thing for there to be like a plot line that they literally don't make a choice about. They don't even answer it. And so it's like, it's not like they made a choice and they stuck with it. They didn't make a choice, and they left us all hanging with whatever the big secret is.
Right.
So who knows? Maybe we'll find out someday. Maybe this has been disclosed in like other sources and whatnot, but
I mean, for the movie to close and not have anything. Yeah. For the movie to close and to not be evidently clear what it is, this kind of doesn't make sense.
Yeah. Spy on Sports saying, I think Finn was in love with Rey, but couldn't bring himself to bring that up in the moment of their battle. Which honestly makes me feel even more sad for Finn's character. Like,
right?
Poor guy, right? Yeah. Or maybe he learned of Rey's origins. Maybe he learned she was a Palpatine. Yeah, who knows? The secret could have been anything, but I guess we might never know. So, well, those were the 10 things that we would change to improve The Rise of Skywalker as a film. This is probably going to be a series for us, so let us know either on the socials or in the comments of the YouTube live stream or the video if you're watching after the fact, what order you'd want us to do these in. We're thinking maybe just like reverse movie order, but we're not necessarily set to any schedule or anything like that. So if there's a particular film you'd like us to do 10 things that we think would make the movie better, let us know, and we can take that into consideration for our next episode, where we do we take a film and improve it in 10 ways. So and another comment from Spy on Sports, maybe he just wanted to tell her what Captain Phasma looked like under yeah maybe that was it. He saw Captain Phasma's face or something like that.
She's blonde. Did you know she's blonde?
She's blonde. Well, I've got a couple more quotes here from Mariah when we were watching the film. I shared a couple of them with you already. Some of these great quotes included, why is it called Rise of Skywalker if they killed him off at the end of the last movie? Why doesn't Kylo get a Darth name? They can fall out through light speed. That's so stupid. Is that one of those new sequel goofy things?
the light skipping, right?
Yeah. The scene, you know, the scene where she has the lightning out of her hands and she's trying to save Chewbacca?
Yes.
She's got laser beam hands? Did she just kill Chewbacca?
Laser beam hands, I love it.
Oh, this is my favorite one. This is the last one I'll share with you. Babu Frick was a favorite of hers. She really likes Babu Frick. And at the end of the movie, she said, I love that guy. What was his name? Bobo Babu Fock?
Yep. Bobo Babu Fock.
That's hilarious. Yeah. So, quotes by Mariah during our watching of The Rise of Skywalker. So, maybe do one old, one new. Yeah, we could do like a back and forth thing. So, maybe working our way through. Maybe an original one next, and then a prequel one next, or you know, in some order like that, and kind of doing a carousel of sequel, original, prequel, something like that. But that remains to be seen. We will announce on the socials and on YouTube our information regarding the next episode, which will be in about 2 weeks' time, both on YouTube and on Twitch. And Mariah in chat there as well. Yeah, she was also very confused why the actor's name is escaping me. The actor who's in Lost and Lord of the Rings he has like a small minor role in this film as one of the resistance
members. Yes, I know who you're talking about.
Charlie from Lost. Yeah, she was very confused why there was a hobbit in the movie the whole time. So
Dominic Monaghan.
Yes, that's what it is. Yes.
Thank you, Gibbo.
Yes. I could help with the Clone Wars change number one, make it not animated. A not animated Clone Wars shows would be legit.
I would actually be fine with that. Yeah. That'd be lots of money.
yeah, probably so. But hey, worth it though. Before today's outro, Joey, I had another surprise for you that I told Gibbo about that we wanted to have you react to live on the episode.
Okay. Here we are. Yeah, let's do it. Oh, dear.
So do you have any indication as to what I'm literally bringing this up for the first time? Do you have any indication as to what this surprise might be?
I have zero context. I have nothing.
Okay, my shirt is a clue.
Does that say I am your father? Does that say I am your father, Ben?
It Ben? Does say that.
Mariah, are you telling me little Luke and or Leia is on the way? Oh my God! Let's go! Congratulations. I was totally Thank serious. You. I'm telling you, we were talking about family stuff earlier, right, Ben?
Holy cow. I thought you were like had the sixth sense when you were talking about that earlier because I literally sent the image to Gibbo like within a couple minutes of you saying that. I was like, oh my gosh, how did he know?
No, I guess maybe I'm force sensitive. I'm the one that has to tell Rey. But yo, congratulations to the baby Jedi, as Spy and Sport says, or probably baby Sith. Let's be honest, it is Ben. So,
hey, Gibbo did put a red border. I'm noticing
he did
on
put a
the
red
baby.
Border around it. Holy cow! Well, congratulations, Ben. Congratulations, Mariah. That is incredible news.
Like father, like son, slash daughter.
We might have another guest star.
Yeah. Little baby Jedi coming soon. And it will be a Princess Leia. It will be, it's a girl. So, coming December 19th, which I feel like now that I'm saying it out loud on our podcast, I feel like there's been a Star Wars movie released on that day. Wasn't one of the sequel films released on December 19th?
I feel like either that or maybe Rogue One. One of those.
That could be. Yeah.
Definitely. Yeah. Definitely. So you're going to have to name the baby off of the female protagonist of that movie.
Yeah.
Just kidding,
yeah,
Mariah. Yeah. Just kidding. You don't have to do that.
She doesn't know yet, but I've already snuck the word Ahsoka into the baby's name.
Ah. Little baby Ahsoka. Well, congratulations.
Yeah.
Couldn't be happy for you guys. Looks like Mariah really does like that idea. So we got you.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, congrats, Mariah.
She's a big fan. Yeah. Broom Girl. That could be another option for a name. Not going to happen. Okay.
All right. Well, that's fair.
It was worth a
vetoed
shot.
Vetoed very quick. That's funny. Well, congratulations, guys. And
thank you.
And I was mentioning earlier, you know, you can. Yeah. If you have questions about house hunting or buying a house, if you have questions about children, let me know too, I guess.
Definitely. Yeah. When I mentioned all the transitions off the top of today's episode, in addition to the house and finishing grad school and starting the new job, this was another one. So Mariah, how about Sabine? Can't wait to see Sabine. That's little another Sabine. Option.
I like that too.
Yeah. Well, thanks for playing along with the fun surprise, Joey. Little baby girl on the way December 19th. Maybe she'll be on an episode of the podcast someday, but until then we will be back in about 2 weeks' time with our next episode, 118 of the podcast. We appreciate each and every single one of you for hanging out with us on this one. Thank you to those of you especially watching live on the YouTube stream, and hope to be live both on YouTube and Twitch 2 weeks from now for the next time. Shout out to all those of you who are subscribed on YouTube. And if you're not yet subscribed there, check us out for the video version of every podcast, as well as our reactions to the latest shows as they go live. You can contact us via email at hothhangout@gmail.com with your Star Wars thoughts, questions, or otherwise, and we'd love to showcase them on the pod. The Hoth Hangout podcast is available wherever you get your podcasts, including both Apple and Spotify. And if you're listening on either of those platforms or any platform that allows you to leave a five-star review, leave a five-star review on the podcast. We'd appreciate it very much and allows it to be more easily discovered by other people that love Star Wars as well. We're also on the socials on Instagram, TikTok, and X, and on Twitch at Hoth Hangout on all of those platforms. And additionally, we have the link to the Hoth Hangout community Discord server down in the show notes of today's episode as well. Spion Sports says, awesome episode, even better news. Thanks, Spion Sports, for hanging out with us, and Lord Galvatron and Mariah, all those of you hanging out with us today. Joey, any last thoughts?
Well, this was ended up being a great episode. We had a little bit of technical difficulties to start, but we were able to power through when we were here on YouTube. I thought it was a fun time. And maybe, just maybe, hear me out, Ben and Mariah, 10 names for the baby that Ooh. Are Star Wars related. Maybe that's a short that you guys do that you and her talk of, you know, that you'll mention fun. Names and then she'll say no, yes, no. But
we do tier list of names that are Star Wars names.
Yeah,
it's gonna be no names in the top three tiers and like all of my Star Wars names in the F tier.
That's right. But yeah, it was a fun episode. You know, we don't normally do things like, you know, what's the things we hate about Star Wars. But, you know, the only reason we'd have these discussions is because we care about Star Wars so much. And, you know, of course, we're always going to be critical of the things that we love. And I just thought it'd be a fun conversation to have about Rise of Skywalker. We'll eventually do it to some of our favorites, you know, in the prequels and the sequels as well. I mean, and the original trilogy as well. So I thought it was just a different little spin on what we normally do at Hoth Hangout, and can't wait for the next one.
Yeah, me as well. And lastly, shout out to Gibbo. Thank you to Gibbo for producing today's episode, who will always be the rise and not the fall of Hoth Hangout. And another special shout out to Gibbo for helping me put together that little surprise announcement for you today. Just send him a message as we were getting ready to start today and put that together. Yeah. I'm pointing the wrong way, aren't I? Get a little one of these. But yeah, we appreciate you, Gibbo. Thank you for all you do and for creating all the assets and everything you do behind the scenes for the production of the podcast. We appreciate you very much. And shout out to George Lucas and Dave Filoni and all the Star Wars fans out there listening. Join us next time in 2 weeks for episode 118 of the podcast. We appreciate each and every single one of you listening so very much. And until next time, may the Force be with you.